Welcome to Slow and Steady, the podcast where you get to follow along as we build products in public. Each week, we'll give you an honest peek into our lives as we share our struggles, our wins, and everything in between. I'm Benedict, and I'm feeling busy.
And I'm Benedicta. Today is April 9th. This is episode number 199. And I'm feeling sun-kissed, even though that's not a feeling, but that's exactly how I'm feeling.
We're making it up as we go, I guess.
We just make it up as we go. We've just like, we've used all the feelings and the feeling wheel. I don't think we have though. We should be getting more creative with the feelings. But yeah, I'm on a workation that has mostly been vacation so far in Portugal. And it's nice. Been awesome. I am so relaxed and just so like worry free, which is weird. Like, all my things will be back in Oslo when I come home. Like, they don't mysteriously disappear. But it's sometimes thing about just being, this is like a resort thing that my dad found. So we were here together. And, you know, it's really nothing going on. It's just like these like quiet streets. And then you walk down to the beach and then you have a drink on the beach. And then you walk back from the beach and then you go to the pool and it's like, and I'm like, how can anything, like nothing to worry about? No, it's been lovely. But the family's leaving today, Ula and Lillian, and then I'm going to have a week of proper workation with my sister, hopefully getting, I've been doing some work, but hopefully going to get some like major work. Our plan is work in the morning, beach midday, and then work in the afternoon again.
Sounds good. Is it, how's the weather there? Is a beach in the middle of the day feasible or is it too hot?
No, it's absolutely, it's like a Nordic summer here. So okay. It's like warm in the middle of the day when the sun is out and then it's a little chilly at night. And then obviously the apartment is made for like a lot warmer. So we've been like cozying up under the blankets at night. You know, these type of apartments in the south of Europe where it's like everything is brick walls or like, not brick, but like cement. Yeah, and then very like glossy tiles. So everything is like cool to touch because it's made for even warmer weather. So coming from like my Norwegian insulated houses, we're like, oh, it's, you know, it's a little bit cold. And the first couple of days it was raining and raining. And I was just happy being somewhere else. But my dad, who only had taken, I think his idea was only to be here over Easter break when there's like the actual bank holidays. And he came and it's been raining the whole time. And then we came down, or Lillian and I came down for a week, and then Ula came down for a week, and then I'm gonna have a week on my own. But he was just like defeated because it was raining and raining and raining and raining. So he ended up staying another week, but he had to work. So he was like holed up in the apartment during the day. But then we had like a little beach walk in the afternoon. And so he got his week of, you know, more sun as well. But I could just feel, because I was just excited just being away. But he was like, but this is not what I paid for. I was supposed to be sun. So I was joking online. I was like, we were traveling to catch the pre-release of spring. And then somebody with like a video in raining. And then somebody was like, oh, maybe you caught the beta instead. And I was like, yeah, we had a little bit of
Probably.
So, but it's been snowing in Oslo. So, I mean, that just makes everything better because nothing is better than when you're in a warm climate and you know that the people at home, you know, are not getting the warm climate.
Right.
Schadenfreude. Yeah. I think is the German word, isn't it? Like Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude.
Yeah. Schaden. Exactly. I mean, I'm not proud of that, but it is true. Like if they had like superb spring in Oslo now, it wouldn't be as awesome to be here.
Yeah. Makes sense.
But anyway, that's just me bragging about my amazing workation. But sorely needed.
That's cool. I'm not too jealous because I'm leaving for my vacation in a couple of days, so I'll be just as relaxed, hopefully.
We're just a couple of vacationers. Like, do we ever work? I don't even know. No, just kidding.
Well, it feels like I'm working a lot lately, but not on the things I'd like to be working on. Still struggling with like getting long stretches of focused work in, but I guess that's just how it is these days.
But what is breaking our focus time?
Lots of stuff, like people asking questions, customer support. We recently started doing like more hands-on onboarding help with like higher value clients. So sometimes mm-hmm. they come up with questions, don't want to hop on a call. They send over a Loom video where I have to figure out what they were asking and come up with an idea and solution and stuff like that. And then it's tax season in the US. So we finished the tax returns for 2023. Yeah. And like back and forth with CPA and stuff like that. So lots of stuff going on, basically. And I feel like I don't have the long stretches of uninterrupted time to really deeply get into product stuff. And the few days I had like research for stuff like that recently got wrecked by a customer discovering some bigger issues that like where we actually had bugs in production that I that somehow slipped by.
Are you not perfect, Benedict?
No, I'm not perfect. And yeah, it's a little bit annoying. We were joking, like at some point we were like, okay, we should offer them something as a thank you, and we're considering sending them one of our t-shirts. But the slogan on the t-shirts with "Better Done Than Perfect" didn't really seem to be the best fit clicked. For the case. So I think we ended up giving them a discount, but we accidentally shipped two things that were broken into production, and they slipped by even our like test suite and everything. And in hindsight, it turns out I was testing the stuff, but I only mostly testing the happy path and not testing all of the edge cases. And they managed to build stuff that triggered the edge cases. And with one of the issues, it was pretty obvious and was easy to fix. But with the other one, I think I spent like half a day, more than half a day, even trying to understand what was going on. Ultimately, once it clicked, the fix was super easy. It took like 20 minutes or so, including new tests. But like just figuring out what was going on, oh, it was a nightmare. But we fixed it. And good thing is that not a lot of people were affected by this. So it was mostly this one customer. And maybe one or two more, but could have been much worse. And in the end, it wasn't. So, yeah, I guess we got lucky. Let's hope not. There's nothing else like this in the code base right now where it's like really not doing the thing it should be doing.
Anyhow,
fixing it. Yeah, thanks. Try to be quick about it. I mean, that's always what we try to do. Like, if there is a major issue coming up, that's like priority number one. Everything mm-hmm. else has to stop, and we just figure out what's going on and fix that. And then, yeah, sometimes we have smaller issues, but I consider everything that's like either affecting customers in terms of like our customers' customers by sending mm-hmm. them the wrong stuff a major issue, or where stuff's just not working at all. And luckily, we have those only very okay. Occasionally, it's already sounds already too much. Like maybe one thing a year or something like that. So yeah, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. But is there anything you could do to get longer stretches of time? Are you like really vigilant about being, you know, I can actually wait 3 hours before I check on these like onboarding things, or
yeah,
and be like, okay, I'm just gonna put all of that on close and then take 3 hours.
I probably should just like do that and close everything and I just like go away basically and like mm-hmm. make sure the interruptions don't reach me. And I haven't been doing that lately. So yeah, fair enough. Maybe it's on me.
No, because I think like 7 hours or 8 hours is like that then suddenly it might feel for the other people like you are slowing them down or like you're not being responsive enough. But I feel like doing it 3 hours, like that could be like a trip to the store. Like, I mean, 3 hours is not that long. Like if you answer within an hour or 3 hours, if you haven't answered within that first hour, like people are already on to the next thing. And you then wait 3 hours, then that's fine. And then like having, I have to remind myself of this again and again. And I just like read this book while on vacation that somebody recommended, not like super interesting. It was called The 12-Week Year or something. But again, like his point is that you have to be more kind of like vigilant with your, oh, you have it? Yes. But again, what I took away from that is like thing, as I already know, but you need to be reminded of, and that is, you know, having like certain types of hours, like let's check, you know, email and social media and all of that, like busy stuff, yeah, 2 times a day. And then, you know, if you have support, like you have or onboarding, like maybe even that's 3 times a day, but at least kind of contain it so it doesn't like seep into everything you do, because then you don't get that focus time. And the people I hang out with on Monday and Friday, where we like plan our weeks, like our focus sessions that we also do together are, I think, an hour and a half usually are the longer ones. They're not even 3 hours. And I'm always amazed at what I can do in an hour and a half if I have done all the things that our fearless leader, no, it's just like Toril, but she always tells us, like, if you plan a focus session, and it's usually an hour and a half, but it could be 3 hours, but it's like you need to do the prep ahead of time. So like get your coffee, your snacks if you need it. And then also if it's something coding related, then maybe do your research before that time, or like do all of that kind of like opening the GitHub and like what was the issue and blah, 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 and like asking people some questions, like do all of that. So when you sit down for the 1.5 hour, all you have to do is code, or all you have to do is write, or all you have to do is, you know, whatever, sales calls.
Yeah.
And then I'm usually amazed. Like I knocked out this demo for Outsera that I hadn't, it's been like laying in the back of like, oh, it's such a big project. Oh. And then yesterday I like finally, I was like, I got an hour and a half before pool time, just like before we went to the watch park. And I had done all that prepping the day before because she was like, remember to prep. I was like, oh, I got prep. Mm-hmm. And then I sat down and like in an hour and a half, I had the demo done and it was done. And then, you know, today or tomorrow, I'm going to write the article and I'm going to try to do the same thing, like get everything prepped and then sit down and just kind of like crank out the kind of article that is going to go with this demo. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is stuff we know, but I find that I need to like be reminded, and that's why
it's
asking. Are you actually planning for a focus hour, or are you just at the end of the day, you didn't have one or focus session?
Yeah. Yeah. I should probably do a better job of like, yeah, being deliberate about it. And the thing is, like, I feel like you said like 3 hours and I'm like, yeah, that's not long enough. I feel like I could use a day or two of just like nothing. That's interrupting me.
But we have to plan within the realm of possibility.
Right,
here,
right. Yeah. But just to like get some uninterrupted like focus and exploration time to just like really get to the root of some of the things we want to do. And we made some progress in that direction, which was good, basically by pair programming. So I had Leo, our front-end developer, jump on a call with me. And then just being on the call with the two of us, talking through stuff, that was already immensely helpful. Because for one, you're on a call, therefore it's fine to not check everything else. And having two brains and two eyes, two pairs of eyes and thinking about a problem and looking at some examples and like brainstorming, that was immensely helpful to get some deeper understandings about the stuff we want to do. And but I still feel like I could use a day or two to move on from there and like take it to the next level.
Yeah.
But probably not going to happen this week. And then
then it's better with like three-hour sessions than kind of nothing, because you're waiting for that.
Probably also true. Yeah.
Yeah. No, so I'm trying to do this now because I have so many like almost finished projects, and that is my kryptonite. Mm-hmm. So that will be my focus here in Portugal, but also over the next couple of weeks, is just like finishing up and like wrapping things properly up. So for it's kind of across the board. So for Outsera, I've had like lots of like exploratory demos that I've kind of created as an answer to support questions. So we get support questions in, and then I have to figure out, you know, how our system works. And I create little demos, and then they are living there in Code Sandbox, but nobody knows about them except for that one person that got the link because it showcased kind of their problem. So I'm hoping to kind of clear a lot of those that could be helpful for more than one person or like one customer of ours, and get those out so that they are available in our knowledge base. And that's kind of leading up to, because there's rumors. Well, there's not just rumors. If you Google Framer plugins, there's a waiting list page, but there are plugins are coming to Framer, and we are hoping for early access. And as soon as we get that early access, that is what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be making the official Adseta Framer plugin as soon as we know how the API looks like and what is possible. So I want to kind of clear my plate for that and not have those little things like hanging. And some of them, it's not even having to write an article, because we have now a place in our knowledge base that we just call code snippet that just showcase very specific kind of recipes for things. If you want to do custom things that are in addition, like you have custom scripts that kind of isn't by default, like we don't do by default, but you can do it if you code a little. So they don't need much. They just need to be like published with a heading and be like, for this case, you can use this code, copy paste it from line 5 to line 20 and into your site, and cross your fingers, it will work. But yes, I just need to like do those kinds of things. And then we have like a longstanding project that we started actually last year with Zeta, which was Data in the Wild. And it got published, like the episode started getting published, but there was never any launch. Like we never really did anything with it. And then we had one episode where the guest didn't show, and it kind of like fizzled a little bit around that time. But then we've had some talks, and they were like, well, we don't want to, the plan was that we will do a season, and then they were going to do a season kind of to kickstart them. But then they were like, well, I don't think we're going to do a second season. So now kind of we own the brand or own the project again. So we have been working. So go to dataindthewild.fm. I sprung for an expensive domain and created a fun design. At least I think it's a fun design. You were one of our guests, Benedict. You're on this page and you can sign up to be notified. But I think we'll be releasing the first kind of official relaunch sometime next week, which would be the episode with Monica. And then we have, we were planning on having 10 guests, but we now landed on 8 guests. And then we're just going to make more clips instead to kind of promote the guests that we do have. And Data in the Wild was a podcast where we talked to founders about their data model journey or data model journeys. Can't talk. Data model journeys. And I was Googling some things, and then they were saying like data model for a lot of people are other things, because I was talking about like the data structure, I guess, like the tables you have in your database and like how you think about that and, you know, your entities and stuff. And I realized there's different words around that. But we really want to do a season 2 if we can get database companies to join, or even backend as a service companies to join, where we go deeper into like proven structures or models or what we want to call them. Because like we've talked about before, like a lot of this is kind of done. Like we know how to do these things. But for us coming from the front end side, we often don't know these things. And I kind of want this resource where I'm like, oh, I want to make a blog with tags and categories. Like how should they, you know, work together? And like, what tables do I need? And what should I think about? And then maybe it could even be like, oh, import into Postgres or import into Seno, which is like a backend, no code backend database. And then my hope is that we can get sponsors, kind of like, you know, for instance, Seno or AppRite or any of these, and like have it be kind of their like one click into their kind of service. But that the information and what we're talking about on the podcast for that episode, you know, is generic or tech agnostic, but then we could have these like one click import into different services in addition, which would make it worthwhile for the sponsors, hopefully. So we're going to relaunch Data in the Wild, hopefully get lots and lots and lots of listeners and traction, and then we can make season 2 next year, maybe. Like I am starting, like now I'm like 1 year, so that's nothing. Like before I was like, it needs to be done next month. Now I'm like, you know, I can work on this for a year if that's what it takes to kind of get sponsors. Otherwise, I'll just not do that project because I don't have infinite time that I sometimes think that I have. But yeah, check out dataandthewild.fm. I'm the designer. I'm just very proud.
Yeah, it looks quirky, really nice.
Quirky website. And then also I tested out something because I was on my way to Portugal and there was a couple of things I hadn't done, like optimize the images and stuff. And I'm quite new to Astro, but I kind of knew exactly what I needed to get done. But I was on a plane, you know, I was going to be on the plane. I was going to be on vacation. So I actually tested out outsourcing to a guy that I met on Twitter. And I was just like, can you do some issues for me? And he was like, yeah, sure. And we just agreed on a price for like small, medium, large. And I was like, I think this is a medium. And he's like, yes, fine. And then he just did it while I was on the plane. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Nice. So I'm going to do more of that, especially for things that are where I know I could do it, but it's not like important that I do it. Because then it's also easier to outsource, I feel, because I could explain quite specifically what needed to be done. It just needed to be done. And I could outsource it like that. And that was really, really cool. And then the same thing happened to me because our friend Monica was struggling a little bit with her Sanity Studio upgrade. And she was like, you know this stuff. I'm like, yes, I know this stuff. Like I can spend a day over my workcation looking at that. And then I managed to get it done in a day. And she was like, oh, this is just so nice that I didn't have to to like, you know, do any more like exploratory work. Cause she also has a ton of other things to do, which is much more business critical than working, but it has to be done, right? It needs to be upgraded. Cause I think it's end of support on version 2 and those kinds of things just needs to be done. So it's funny, like I outsourced some things to this guy, she outsourced some stuff to me, kind of what comes around goes around kind of thing. So if you're a founder and you need help with like React, static site generation stuff, and you think it would take me a day or two, I can do it. Because it's fun to just do things you know really well every now and then.
Yeah, the power of outsourcing. It always sounds like it's the big task. And then in the end, unless you find someone who's not good and just makes a mess and you had a little bit more work than you had initially, but you have some good people to outsource to. That's awesome.
And I also think like if you know quite well the stuff that you are outsourcing, like Monica's made her whole site herself. So she kind of knew what she needed. And she kind of also, she knows me quite well though, but she's also in a position to kind of be a good buyer and also a good kind of receiver of the code. She could actually test it properly herself and look through the code before she merged it in. The same thing with this guy that I outsourced to. Like I knew because he had helped us just we were doing some streaming and he just made a PR to our project with a suggestion on how we could solve some things. I kind of seen his code a little bit before. And then in this case, I could also validate, you know, his code before merging it in. So I think it's quite a lot easier for us. It would be much harder if I was going to outsource something in a code base I didn't know anything about or in the code language I didn't know anything about, because then I would have a much harder time just like outsourcing a little bit and then getting the results back and actually validating that this is good enough or like what you asked for. But I also thought I should like outsource things that I'm not that good at, but it turns out it can be quite nice outsourcing things you are good at.
Yeah, it's outsourcing things that free you up and give you more of your time back, I guess. Yeah, nice. Yeah.
And just so you can work in parallel, right?
So yes.
So you can like, get done in calendar time. Like I could do it, but calendar time would slide, right?
Right.
But, yeah.
Cool. Is there anything else you want to talk about this week?
Oh, I have so much to talk about. You know, I could talk for hours. No, but I'll just, we're still working hard on the streaming service or like build with us, go live service. We have kind of two quite warm leads now going back and forth, but it's hard to get somebody to take a chance on it when it's not been done before. They're like, do you have examples? It's like, no, we don't have examples because it hasn't been done before. And that's why it's so cheap right now. So you kind of have to just you know, pull the trigger. So we'll see if that happens. But I was also floating around a different type of product that I called Mystery Dev. So I'm in the middle of one of those. And that is kind of like Mystery Shopper, but for developer tools. So I just go in and I start using the product and I film myself as I do it. And I found a really good flow because I just use StreamYard like we use now. Because if you don't go live, you can pause and resume and you end up with one video. So I just did a session where I start using it and then I pause and I write up my notes and then I do a next session where I film and then I pause and then I write up my notes. And then my plan was to then cut like little sections to go with the notes for the things that I end up highlighting in kind of like the final deliverable. I did not promise a report because I cannot write a report, but it will be like a bulleted list. And then I'll pull in some clips where I'm like, ooh, what happened here? Like, I don't understand. And then they can get like my actual raw input on things. So that was a lot of fun. I'd like to do more of those as well. So I'm going to work more on packaging these services and put them on my website so people can actually buy them.
Yeah, nice.
Because now you have to listen to this podcast to know what. Sorry, go ahead.
Right. What I think might be hard with these is that these sounds like useful offerings, but I feel like it's not something that people search for. So what are your plans of like selling this? Are you just like cold emailing all the dev tools, or what's your plan?
No, so far there's I'm part of something called Developer Marketing Slack, and there's a lot of it seems like people are both selling and buying in this group. Like, it's not like a very like people go in and advertise, but people are asking for things. So this one person I'm talking to, they were like, we have a hard time getting our CTO to do kind of the technical marketing, and I can't do the technical marketing because I am not technical. This is the CEO and they're in quite early stage. And I was like, well, we're working on a service where we will, you know, we can help the CTO do kind of marketing by joining our streams, but then don't have to spend the time writing or cutting this up into clips and stuff like that. So that's how she kind of got interested in it. So I think those kinds of communities are a better bet at selling. I don't think, you know, SEO will be our strategy here. And also we don't need a ton of sales either. Like if we can sell, you know, one or two of these, you know, or one a month, we'll be, you know, fine. So I think it's more, and then if you start doing it, especially, well, Mystery Dev is hard because, you know, I can't talk about it because it's mystery. I can ask if I can make case studies afterwards, but it's not a very visible thing while I do it. But what we hope for Build With Us or Go Live, where we stream with founders, is that it's very visible. So by kind of virtue of doing the project, that will be kind of advertisement for that project. So I think it's all about getting the two first customers and then nailing it. And if it doesn't really work the way we've expected, then, you know, we'll have to maybe not do it. But I do think it will work really well if we can just, you know, get through the first, get the first two customers and do it. We can demonstrate it. And by demonstrating it, people can see the product kind of. And it will be a part of the doing it, but also be marketing, hopefully.
So, yeah, makes sense.
But we'll see. Cool. We'll see. I don't know. Right now, I want to be on permanent vacation.
Well, you're still on vacation for another week. So maybe you'll
pull up
at the end of it.
I probably will. I usually at some point, like when I take longer breaks, like I do over the summer, I'm very ready to get back into it. But right now I'm very much into the, like,
not doing anything.
But it's not an option. Like at some point, got to make some money, right?
Right.
Because gotta buy the groceries and pay the utility bills and all of those boring things in life.
Yeah, true.
True.
Well, I guess.
Funny story. I have a funny story at the end. No, I have a funny story at the end. So,
okay.
Ula has been making YouTube shorts, and he does a sketch note, and then he does a short around the sketchnote, because he's always been sketchnoting, and this is like a great way for him to kind of put that like released onto it. Mm-hmm. And he did one about Lillian and him trying to feed some birds here in Portugal, and it didn't work because the birds were weird. I don't know. Something like that. And suddenly we had a spike. Yeah. We had 25 new YouTube subscribers from that one short. Okay. And I was like, what the is going on? And I'm like, how are they going to like our tech content? Because like most of the stuff is tech content, but we're doing like a little bit of vacation type shorts. So we were just like, this is just too funny. Like how is this, you know, bird short getting all these subscribers? And then I checked the stats again the day after. We'd lost 24 subscribers. So I am pretty sure 24 of those 25 subscribers were bots. And then Google did a cleanup or YouTube did a cleanup, because we went from like gaining 25 subscribers one day and then losing 24 the next day. And then I don't think those 25 has like liked and then subscribed and then found us again and then unsubscribed. That doesn't seem so that's right, the adventures of YouTube. We're like, what is happening? But you know, it could have happened. Like YouTube is a strange beast.
Yeah. It is. It's funny. I have the same phenomenon on Twitter these days. I'm like,
oh, me too.
15 or 16 followers away from 2,000 followers. Mm-hmm. And I keep getting close, and then like it's all bots and they get removed again. So I'm never going to reach it.
I have a prediction
that the day I legitimately reach 2,000 followers on Twitter is the day that Twitter will shut down.
It's the same thing for me with 2,300. I've been like going above and below 2,300 for months. It's just like up and down, up and down, up and down, and up and down. So, but I mean, it's not the most important thing in the world, but it is funny to like follow, and you can see all the bots being cleared, and then it kind of goes up again, and there's a new clear. But yeah, that's it for me. I just thought that was a fun story. And if you want to see how we are here in Portugal, you know, check out our Queen Ray YouTube channel, and you'll find.
And look at the bird videos.
Interesting shorts. Look at the bird videos. They're very good.
Nice.
Yeah. See you around the interwebs.
Cool. Yeah, I guess that's it. Have a nice rest of your vacation, and see you in a couple of weeks.
Bye.
Bye.